I need to do to make it another day, and tell me how to take care of my family and what I need to do. And you've heard it said how long Methuselah's hair is. I really don't care how long Methuselah and who a second cousin is. Amen. I want to know what I have to do to be saved. Amen. I want to go in the vein that we have been going as far as the last little bit. God, you take the tail end, and I kind of want to tag into the tail end. If I can, I may run out of time, and that's all right. We'll pick it up somewhere down the road. But, oh, by the way, don't forget, Brother Raul Alvear Jr. will be here Tuesday night, the 2nd, September the 2nd. Not this Tuesday night, is that Tuesday night, September the 2nd? That is. Wow. That's on us. So September the 2nd, we have changed our Wednesday night service, the 3rd, to Tuesday night, the 2nd. September the 2nd, Tuesday night, Brother Alvear Jr., Raul Alvear Jr. will be preaching for us. Wednesday night, no service. As it is right now, they're supposed to call me back, depending on when his flight leaves. Brother Tim Joyner called, and Brother Tim Joyner may be preaching for us Sunday, depending on when his flight leaves. If he has to fly out on Sunday, that would change. But if it's on Monday, then he is supposed to be here with us. They called this morning, and so anything we can do to further us, whether it be missions, evangelism, and that is kind of where we've been going, is evangelism and outreach and soul winning and witnessing. And so I just want to just kind of continue in that vein for just a few minutes. I do not want to be long. I came out and realized I'd left part of what I've been looking for, something I just found it just moments ago, and just kind of put a little big little brackets around it so I could refer back to it in a minute, but I left it in there. So I just want to just take our time, in no big hurry tonight. Amen. Sometimes those awesome Sunday services are awesome, they're great, but sometimes you just sit back, amen, you just have a good solid meal of meat and taters, I guess you could call it. But they asked me in the beginning, said, how are you going to pastor? I said, just three simple things. Love them, lead them, and feed them. Tonight, this is going to be one of them feed them things. Amen. Just love you with everything in me. Lead you in prayer and worship and outreach. Amen. And then feed you from the Word. Amen. We can do new songs, and that's wonderful. Amen. But sometimes you have to go back to those old landmarks and what got us here. And we've talked about building an altar lately, and then we went right into outreach. And speaking of outreach, I got a little picture of the Cumberland. How many went on the Cumberland University outreach last night? Brother Tony, Brother Birmingham, Sister Alexis. I take it that went well. You passed those things out. Excellent. I want to hear about it after church. I had two pens, and I've already gave one of them out. I used one tonight in preparing for the service, but in the meeting last night, I gave him a church card and a church pen. And so I'm excited about what God is doing. Some of the new things we have concerning outreach, you'll have to show us how to download the app, because several people are asking about the app. You may not have been in here. We have our own app now, Landmark Pentecostal app on the iPhone. We have our own Cornerstone Retreats app as well. So Brother Birmingham will show us how to download that. I'm not sure how that goes. He done it for me, but there's a few steps you have to take, so he'll walk us through that. If you have your Bibles, just a very simple scripture, one of my favorite scriptures, Acts 1 and 8. If you will, just stand for the reading of the Word, and then you can be seated. I have a longer text a little bit further on, but I'll read that, allow you to sit down. But just as a launching pad, I want to read from the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. Amen. We all know it, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Amen. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses, everybody say witnesses, unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Again, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. God of heaven, we ask you to touch us tonight in the remainder part of this service. You open our ears and eyes spiritually that we might see and hear the word, our minds and our hearts, we might understand and accept it. In the name of Jesus, God, let there be a spirit of revelation tonight. Talk to us through the word. God, help us to see the necessity, God, of being a witness and our part that it plays, oh God. Help us to do our part. Help us to be a soul winner, to be a light. Amen. To be an example, to be a witness. But you'd anoint the word, anoint the people tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. I do not want to be very long. Amen. But I want to leave just a few things with you tonight. Amen. With every minute that passes, no fewer than 96 people slip out into eternity. Every hour, 5,760 go to meet their maker. At that rate, 138,240 die each day. Now, this is in a survey and from a list probably taken a decade ago. 967,680 die per week. Using that figure of 52 weeks in each year, over 50 million people will have crossed death's river by this time next year. So you have to ask yourself the question, and I knew when I read that it would be the effect it would have upon you. And if you were like me when I found that in reading and studying this afternoon, it impacted me. It to realize that many people, over 50 million people, amen, crossing through death's door by this time next year. So you have to ask yourself, how many of that 50 million plus will know truth? Will know the plan of salvation according to the book of Acts? Will know Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to you. I wonder how many of them will have heard those verses. I wonder how many of them have been taught a Bible study. And perhaps of those, I can never, ever think, and you've heard me tell this story over and over, but I have to think of Lance that I went to school with. I sat in high school from kindergarten. Mom, from kindergarten class to first grade, 13 years of school. 13 years of school. All the way up through my senior year. All of the glee club and the boys choir and then the concert choir, and then we went into the varsity choir, and then we went into, there was a special high school chorale thing, and all of that. I sat right next to Lance. We sang tenor. Mama sang bass. Daddy sang tenor, that old song. And so I cannot talk about much about how many are going to get, when we get to heaven, somebody say, you never told me, without thinking in my mind of Lance. And he was just a good old Baptist boy. I spent the night with Kevin Crawford and Lance Crawford. They were cousins, and I would spend the night with them. We were just kind of a, there were very few people that my parents would even let me associate with too much, because Baker County was a rough place. It was a rough little hole in the wall, if you would. The moonshine capital of the world at one time. Now I think it's the marijuana capital. If it's not, it's in top three, top ten, somewhere in there. But in all of that, I spent birthday parties and I spent school trips. And when we went to on school outings, usually we ended up in the same hotel room. Never one time did I ever bring him. I don't remember ever even inviting him to church. And so I know that Lance, if that be true, when I get to heaven, somehow I've got to fall on the mercy of God, because I know if that be true, and he's standing there, then there's no doubt he's going to say, you never told me. And so it is one of the driving forces behind every time I come in contact with somebody, and every time, even though last night was literally a business meeting, and he had his iPad and his briefcases, and it was all, before we left, I was inviting him into our church. I was handing him a church card. I was giving him a church pen, the new pen, and I had the opportunity to invite him, and he works directly with Brother Chris and Brother Wayne with Allstate, and before it was all said and done, I took that moment, because we spent about 2 hours together, and I did not want another Lance to go through my fingertips, if I can just word it that way. And so as I studied this, I began to realize my responsibility in soul winning. You say, I'm not in the outreach department. It's not my responsibility. Oh, really? I'm not part of the Saturday morning soul winning shout down. I'm not part of the door knocking duo, and I don't do, that is not my department. And sometimes we want to sit back and allow others to do it. Brother B's over outreach, and Brother Gooden is, and Brother Shuff is in community, and Brother Fennell, well, they're the talkers, and I'm not much of a, doesn't excuse you. You don't get a pass on that one. I said the other day, and I say it again, and every day that goes by, if you get to heaven and you have not won a single soul and brought somebody to church, there's a good chance you're not going to make heaven. If you've never taught a Bible study and you've not won somebody, and they come in and see, now whether they come in and then leave, they come in and repent and are baptized in Jesus' name, God fills them with the Holy Ghost, and then they leave, or they came, you taught them a Bible study, they seen truth and never came in. You at least was in there sowing seed. You was at least telling them. You was at least teaching a Bible study. Maybe that'll give you brownie points, if I can again label it that way. I don't know. I'm not God. The rapture's never taken place before, so I can't tell you how it's going to be done. It's like pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And he said, "How do you believe?" And Bishop always said, "I just believe you better be ready, because whether it's pre, mid, or post, when the Lord comes back, I just want to be ready." And so however it is, when the day of judgment comes, I don't want it to be said that, you know, you have to go back, and I'm trying to go very quickly for sake of time, so I'm not going to go into the talents, but where he talked about the five, the two, and the one. I don't want him to be said, you've had one. You had that chance. You had that opportunity, but you never You just took it out and buried it and did nothing with it. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't want to be the one. Not everybody's a five. Not everybody's a ten. Some might be a five, some might be a two. But if I'm a one, bless God, I'm still going to go out and bring that one. I'm still going to go out and tell that one. And so somehow I've got to convince you of the necessity. Whether you're a five, a two, or a one, you have a responsibility. Amen. If you have your Bibles, or if you will, Kay, just bring it up for me, son. Luke 16:19. Luke 16:19. I'm going to read just about, maybe 10 scriptures or so very quickly, and then I'm going to go to Isaiah 43:10. Because, see, there is a concept. And we seem to think that it's okay. We'll just let God draw them. And if they're passing by and God deals with them as they drive by, we know that was meant for them to be saved. And if they come asking, well, if they ask you on the job and if they approach me, then I know that they're hungry. And I know that they need to be saved. And if they come to me asking, concerned, will you teach me a Bible study? Or what is it that you have? Or why are you smiling on the ground? That is my cue that God is dealing with them. And the angels of heaven and angelic beings are dealing with this saint. And we tend to be guilty of looking at them as we are now. And if they don't fit our image or our goal or what we think they should be, forgetting that we've been in this for 20 years. And the scripture that says, such were some of you. I'm just talking about witnessing tonight. I'm just talking about being an example. And we want to approach them only if they fit our criteria. They passed our 7-point checklist, Brother Bundy. Well, sorry. They missed number 4. Nope. I got to hurry. My lunch break's almost over. I still got 15 minutes of sleep. Or if you get a lunch break, however it is. You better remember, you could take that pit stop thing far as not only spiritually, but naturally. In a few days, I'm going to take my family. And really what got me thinking about it, taking my family for the first time to Destin. Never been to Destin. We're going to go down to Destin for a few days and just unplug. Cell phone? I probably won't be able to do that, but at least I'll restrict it to a couple hours a day. Only when she's not there. But if you don't take time, Dad, with your families, you know, my grandpa always had a saying, the hogs will still be there when you get home. My old grandpa waited too long. My grandpa, he's all about work. And then everybody left home. Then he won't spend time with them. But his whole life was consumed by hogs. He had to sell the hog farm because he had nobody there to help him then. And he always said, those hogs will be there when you get home. And I tell you, now, do not dare call your wife or husband a hog. That hog will be there when I get home. Bless God, do not say I said so. You are on your own. I did not say that. I did not call anyone a hog. Take time, dads, with your families. Take that little break that we were just talking about just a few minutes ago when you could feel the unction of the Holy Ghost dealing there. You better take, just like you have to take a break on your job, about 10, about noon, about 3, somewhere around in there on some jobs when you get a break. If you're lucky to get a break. There's times you just got to go sit down for a few minutes, take a power nap. Your family is no different. You need to take time. I said to Jordan today in dealing with the school, I didn't mind how. I said, I just like helping you with math. I just love it. I love helping you, son, with math. Just a few minutes later, I heard his mom in there saying, I love you with school too, son, just not math. She said, just not math. You better take time with them. Because they grow up, and then some done moved to Alabama. You still have a relationship with them. I just said that. And our relationship now is better than it's been since she left home. We have a tremendous relationship. She calls most every day. Only it's Jacob that calls before 7. 6 o'clock the other morning. What are you doing, Dad? What in the world do you think I was doing at 6? 5:59. I said, dude, it's 5:59. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't look at the clock. I know he was lying when he said it. I hoped he repented before anything. Probably why his neck hurt him because he lied. I'm at 5:59. You're like, what am I doing? My wife said, what are you doing? I said, oh, God. That's your son. That wasn't my son at that moment. You better take time. Just don't answer their calls at 5:59. And so, yeah, her, that's why y'all never can reach her till noon. No, I mean, her phone is off. Her phone is off. So we find in the book of Luke chapter 16, the Bible talks about a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, just think about it. Lazarus was a beggar, poor, covered in sores. The rich man ate well every day, dressed in purple. But yet they both died. In hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. One thing we don't preach a lot about anymore is hell. We forget that a hell even exists. We think that hell consists of the light afflictions that we face here on earth. No, that's not hell, friend. No, that's not hell. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would ascend him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. Lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We expect angelic beings sometimes to do our job. What do you mean, Pastor, my job? What do you mean, our job? Why is it my job? We cannot expect a miraculous visitation of angelic beings to accomplish the task set before us. Go to Isaiah 43 and 10, if you would, please. Isaiah 43 and 10 says these words, Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Everybody say, I am his witness. We expect everybody else and everything else to do the simple thing. See, witnessing just does not mean to knock on doors on Saturday. And that's the part, because our lives are so busy, we think that it consists of Saturday morning door knocking. Being a witness is far, far, far more than just Saturday morning door knocking. Being on your job. and for sake of time, I wanted to go into 8:45. I'm going to try to be done at 9. I just leave this one little thought with you, and I'll just cut it off roughly at 9. But just kind of paraphrasing, if Isaiah 43 and 10, the first part says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." Recycling is a law of the universe. The four seasons, summer, fall, winter, spring, follow God's creative order. In nature, we all know that in nature there is a recycle process. In the animal kingdom, in the plant kingdom, there is a recycling progress. Birth, growth, maturity, reproduction, death, and decay continually going on in both the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. Likewise, there is a continual recycling process going on in the kingdom of God. There is new birth, there is growth, there is maturity, there is reproduction, and there is death. There will be no decay in the kingdom of God. I just put down, but by God's resurrection power, there will be no decay, only a glorious resurrection. Whereas in the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom, there is death, then decay. In the kingdom of God, there is no decay. There is just a resurrection. In God's kingdom, amen, it is witnessing. It is the selling of seed. It is a normal process of recycle. Amen. Not will it happen, but when it happens, will I be a part of the cycle? It's not a question. It's not a question. That's why last week I was so adamant that, and even in the first part of it, where we were talking of Bishop and Mom Johnson, had they not have travailed, and if I have time, I'll get into it, but if they had not have travailed and cried and prayed and fasted for a natural baby, when they retired January the 4th of this past year, of this year, this would have been over for them. This would have ended for them. Their dream and their legacy and their vision would have ended right there for him, for them, for that, for their family, for their ministry, for their walk with God, the work they were doing here. But because of a natural birth, and because of playing a part in the kingdom of God recycling process, there not only was a natural birth, but a spiritual birth. Because of travail, there were new babies born, so that not only is their lineage carrying this on, their legacy naturally carrying it on, there is a spiritual legacy. All because of a reproduction cycle, in not only the natural, but in the spiritual, in the kingdom of God. Amen. For a healthy believer, I'm just kind of skimming the top, for a healthy believer, reproduction is a normal cycle. I'm going to say it again. For a healthy believer, reproduction is a normal cycle. I had a dog one time that we had her at the time, and twice a year they come in cycle, and I had it all set up and I had it arranged, and we bred her. And nothing happened, and we bred her, and nothing happened, and come to find out, there were some issues there. Not long after that, she began to get big tumors on her legs and underbelly, and you all remember Jazzy. But there was an issue in the body, in Jazzy. And there was an issue there. She had infection. She had disease in the body. There was a horse, Mr. Darrell down the road, Mr. Terry and them, they had a horse and they bred her, but she would not take because they said she was dirty. And I said, "What do you mean by dirty?" And they said, "Somewhere in her body, or in the reproduction cycle, or in that part of the system in her body, is an infection. And I thought to myself, a healthy church is a church that reproduces. A healthy church is a church that has new babies born into the kingdom of God. A healthy believer, a healthy Christian, a healthy child of God, reproduction is normal. Bible studies are normal. Wanting to have babies is normal. I'm just reading it to you right out of the scripture. The Bible says, ye are my witnesses. For a lady to say, I want any babies, that's not normal. For a lady to not want to hold babies in her arms and not want to have a family, there's something wrong there. That's not normal. There was a girl we knew, a preacher's daughter that we knew, a pastor's daughter, and she said she was only interested in the concubines of the scriptures. She didn't want a family. She didn't want those things. And she's also backslid and also had committed adultery in the church because spiritually there was something wrong with her. It's not normal for naturally a mother to not want to have babies or a man to not want to have a family. It's important to me that I had sons because I wanted my name carried on. I wanted not only Johnson passed down, I wanted Sylvester passed down. You think that's crazy? No, I had three grandpas named Sylvester. On my mama's side, I had two. On my daddy's side, I had one. Three grandpas passed down Sylvester. And it was a family name for us. My mama started it 45 years ago. Blame her. And so I carried it on to my son, my oldest son, Jacob Sylvester Johnson. It was important to me to pass down three names to my family. The name of Jesus, the name Johnson to be carried on, it was important to me, and the name Sylvester. There's something about that name. Brother Lowry, I learned yesterday in that meeting about Tennessee is a per stirpes state. And when he said that, his name was David Capozzi, and he's brilliant. He's very fast, and you have to stay with him, but he knows what he's talking about. And when he said those words, it pricked my ears. It just caught my attention. And I said, what is that? And he said, you like that? And I said, yeah, what is that? He said, that's Latin. I said, well, what's that mean in Latin? He said, to follow the bloodline. I said, oh, excuse me, hold on a second. I said, say it again, son, without even thinking. And he looked at me and I said, say it again, son. I said, I'm sorry, excuse me. I said, most of the men in church, I call them son. My apologies. Well, come to find out he's Jewish, and he understood completely. And he said, that's all right, Rabbi. No, he didn't say that. Sorry, I added that in. He put a little Chinese knot in there just for, nobody caught it. Did you notice that? They thought all Jews done that. That was great. Loved it. He didn't say that, Father. No, he did not. But he said per stirpes was Latin for following the bloodline, or meaning to follow the bloodline. I thought, ooh. And he said, well, what would you do? And I'm thinking, Calvary, following that bloodline all the way down, following that bloodline. To me, it was important to have a bloodline going on down. I just recently bought a dog from Kingfisher Malamutes, and old Rocky. Rocky goes back, my Catahoula goes back 11 generations. I can trace his bloodline back, him being the 12th. 12 generations to him. That's a long time for a dog. I can follow Rocky's bloodline all the way back. It was important to me. Now, I know God saves much too. Thank God, because my family is one. But what I'm saying, but with God, there's no mixing there. With God, you follow the bloodline. You follow the name that's passed down. You follow the blood. There wasn't no mixing in. We don't mix with the world, and we don't mix with, and that's a whole different lesson in itself. But it was important to me that I carry this thing on. Can I tell you that if you do not carry on at Landmark here, yeah, we will grow slowly but surely with one having a baby here, one having a baby there, one having a baby here. But this thing will eventually it will die out. Amen. If I can, I want to use another gardening term from the Scripture. Amen. Where the believer bears fruit as his evidence, or as evidence of his position. Matthew 7:16. Matthew 7:16 says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Ye shall know them by their fruits. Amen. Ye shall know them by their fruits. I looked at Galatians 5:22. I don't want to go too fast, but there's a couple of things I just want to leave with you before I stop. I've got 5 minutes, and I will just try. I'm going to try to end it real quick. Galatians 5:22 says, and this is where Paul wrote to the believers in Galatia here, and in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Amen. Hidden in the heart of fruit is the reproductive seed. As the believers bear fruit, they also are involved in the seed sowing process. Genesis 1:11, and I apologize for having to go so quickly now. Genesis 1:11, Scripture says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Verse 12 says, "And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Amen. This bearing of fruit and this reproduction of the believer is part of God's great plan for you and I. As we bear fruit, our lives are made appealing to the watching world. Our lives become witnesses. And as we intentionally witness to non-believers, we continue the growth cycle by reproducing in others the Christ in us. I'm just talking about witnessing and our responsibility. Amen. Galatians 4:19. Here we find that Paul understood the recycle process, where he used a birthing expression to convey the message, the urgency of the reproduction cycle. Galatians 4:19, the Bible says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." I want to read you this one little thing before I... It is 8:59, and I do not want to hold you long because I don't have time to go into where I want to go next with it. And we'll just continue it, kind of break it up a little bit. Amen. But if you went back and you looked, here the verse talked about in Galatians 4:19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Genesis 30:1, here's where Rachel's desperate plea. I talked to you about travail and wanting a child, and here she said, "Give me children or else I die. Give me children or else I die." A church that will not reproduce spiritually will eventually die. It is said, and here in study, and I found this, it is said that the followers of Thomas, the disciple, developed their own community and refused to associate with a lost world for fear of contamination. The sad part of the story, however, is that after a few years, the followers all died leaving no witnesses of this gospel in their country. Whether that can accurately be proved according to history, the principle is definitely accurate. And so we know that, and I've talked about the Great Commission, and you have Matthew 28:19 that says, "Go ye therefore," and my scripture, my starting scripture text was this: "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Amen. In Luke, I'll just tell you what, bring me up real quick, Luke 24, and I'm going to just read it very quickly. Luke 24 and 45, if you will, brother. Luke 24 and verse 45, real quick. And we're going to go through 49. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Verse 48, "And ye are witnesses of these things." Everybody say, "I'm God's witnesses." "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Go back to Acts 1 and 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses." Acts 1 and 8. "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth." That first part said, "But ye shall receive power." So we find that the end of Luke ties in with the beginning of Acts. Go to chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, if you will, very quickly. Just stand with me. "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Talk about from on high. Go to, again, verse 37, Acts 2:37. I'm going to read through 42, and then I'm going to jump to 46 and 47, and I'm going to close. Acts 2 and 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000. So we don't think God can still save. Well, we only get, yeah, we'll probably win them just one at a time, and just one soul at a time, and maybe just one family at a time. But don't ever shortchange God. Don't ever think that God can't save like Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "I change not." He saved them 3,000. He goes on to read the next verse, please. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Go to verse 46. "And they," everybody say "they," "continuing daily," everybody say "daily," "with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart," verse 47, "praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Why don't you just make your way around the front real quick? You would, please. Acts 1 and 8 said, ye shall be witnesses. Luke 24 and 45 through 49, he said, and ye shall be witnesses. Amen. Proverbs 11 and 30. Says, he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel 12 and 3 said, he that winneth souls, said, the wise shall shine like the stars in the skies. Then Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16 said, let your light so shine before men. Let your witness shine. Let your example shine. Luke said we're witnesses. Acts said we're witnesses. Matthew said, let your witness shine. John chapter 1, 35 through 46. We could go in. It talked about bringing. You don't have to turn there, brother. The scripture talks about being fruitful in your season. And it talked about in one place, like a tree planted by the waters. It bringeth forth its fruit in his season. Amen. I truly with everything in me believe that this is our season to be fruitful. If you'll just grab a hold of the concept that I am the witness of God. That I'm the witness that he's talking about. Is there anybody in here that'll commit with me to being a better witness? Say, Pastor, I do. Then let's be a better witness on our jobs. As we go about our day, on our jobs, everywhere we go, God help me be a better witness. My opening scripture in Isaiah 43 and 10, the Bible says, ye are my witnesses. Amen. I am serious about this thing. I realize that tonight, two Sundays ago, we were shouting from the rooftops. But tonight, I want to get across the concept. It is my responsibility to be a witness, to be an example, to let my light shine. You see, you got a choice. You can be a good witness or a bad witness. You can be a positive effect or a negative effect. Amen. I want God somehow, some way for me and my family. God, help me be a better witness. God, help me to realize the sincerity of the Word and the seriousness of the Word. I believe that if you don't obey the Scripture in being a witness and in telling the lost about a God that said He would that all men be saved, that all would come to repentance, that wasn't for you and I to pick and choose. Amen. I do believe that we'll have to answer to God for that. Well, God, we just chose not to obey that scripture. That sounds kind of like that one man that used to come here that felt that we should tear out pages in the Bible. Oh, Floyd believed that Bishop ought to just take entire books of the Bible and tear them out. For you not to obey those scriptures, you are in essence just ignoring those scriptures and hitting delete in your walk with God. Brother Shupp, we have a responsibility. Even though that ham radio and the things you're doing in the community, some of that is things that you enjoy and it is a hobby, you have a responsibility to use that as a tool into the community because God has opened the door. I can't believe that you're not. And you look at Brother Fennell and the areas that he's involved. Brother Bundy, so many people come through there. If you just had a stack of cards or you just somehow, some way found a way, got a legal loophole that you could squeeze through and just tell them about a church, find out they're in Lebanon. Hey, I'll go to church in Lebanon. So many ways that you could use that as a tool. So many other areas, things that we're involved in and some of you, they used to go to the library. I don't know if any of them still go there anymore. I don't know some of the things that you do. You might be in some old maid club or something. I have no idea. But whatever you do, better not be a bridge club. Maybe it's a book club. I don't know. Bingo. Phase 10. Whatever it is, we can be a better witness. If you haven't told somebody, tomorrow's a great chance. Tomorrow is a perfect chance to not feel defeated when you walk out of here. Just walk out of here rejoicing, thanking God for direction. Saying, okay, God, I'm going to purpose in my heart to tell somebody tomorrow. Whether they take it or not, I'm at least going to invite somebody. I'm at least going to give somebody a card. As they sing and play this softly, is there anybody in here that'll just agree with me and commit with me that tomorrow you're going to tell somebody else. You're going to tell somebody, witness to somebody, hand a card to somebody, but you'll be a better witness. Amen. Just lift your hands as they sing and play softly. God of heaven, help us to be a better witness. Help us to be a better witness, God. Help us to respond. Help us to accept it. Seal the word in us this evening, God. Seal the word in us, God. Help us to be a better witness tonight. Help us to be a better example, to be a light, a city that is set on a hill. God, help us to lead our families in outreach. Lead our families, God, in being a witness, being a soul winner. Help us to teach our children, Lord. Help us to teach our children and to reach those in our neighborhoods. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, help us to be a better witness, a better example. Come on, making a commitment tonight. Oh, come on, agree with me tonight that we're going to tell somebody tomorrow about the Lord. We're going to invite somebody to church. I'm not going to let it die out, oh God. I am the witness that you're talking about. I want to be part of that reproductive cycle spiritually. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, help us tonight to get a hold of the concept, the mentality, the attitude, oh God, that I can win someone to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Seal it in us, oh God. Help us to apply the word tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pray tonight that God somehow give you a burden, put a burden on you, lay some soul on your heart. Amen. I remember when you first come to the Lord, some of you, amen, and I can remember pretty well on all of you, and I remember how excited you were, and somewhere along the way, the older you get, outside of Abraham and Sarah, just no longer is important anymore, because the body is not producing certain things, and certain things stop in the body. I'm talking naturally. And so then you go to outside sources to And sometimes we find entertainment outside sources, and we do everything else to fill the place of and take the place of. And as the body gets older, naturally, things kind of lose their importance because certain levels in the body drop as you get older. That is no different spiritually. The longer you're in church, the longer you live for God, the older spiritually you get in the body. It's unfortunate and it's sad, but it is true. The less excited you are to tell somebody about the Lord, naturally, it takes its course. Spiritually, it does as well. Outreach is not near as important. You couldn't wait to tell everybody in your family. That was until they told you was crazy if you didn't win them. And then you quit telling them. Then you quit talking to your neighbor because you just got tired of the door being shut in your face. And pretty soon, after a while, enough stuff, pretty soon, well, it's no longer near as important as it used to be. When you first come into truth and you first got the Holy Ghost, man, you were going to be a missionary and an evangelist and you were going to save the world. Nobody was going to do it. Nobody had even seen the lights. And yet now weeks go by and we never even invite anyone to church. We never even have any new young people in Sunday school when we should be doing Sunday school drives. Oh, myself, I'm just as guilty. I push evangelism, I push outreach, and I beg and plead and borrow and holler and carry on and flip-flop and do everything else. Revival, revival, till I'm blue in the face and spittle flies, and I shout, revival, we're going to win somebody reasonable. But there's so many other areas that I could be doing, working in, Brother Fennell. And the Sunday school thing, I just looked over and seen Sister Stacy Lowry, and it came to me, but there's nothing like getting our young people excited. So that's an area. But see, I can't think of all areas. That's where you come in, and you come in, and you come in, and you young people come in, and you do things. You do things to keep excitement going, and you do things to win the lost. Because it is not merely my responsibility to win the lost. And it is not the pulpit's responsibility to be the only one burden for souls, and the only one, because if not, now this thing will die. You hear me well. It may last this generation, but I got grandbabies coming up in this thing. And I got kids that come up in this thing, and I got Jay, who's got his family, and now Jordan, who's just starting on, and he's 12 now, and it won't be long, and he'll have his family, and somewhere in there, I'll have grandkids, and this legacy goes on. I don't want this thing ending about two generations from now, because we have no new people, and finally they just shut the doors. And the vision and the burden that Bishop and Mom Johnson had for 40 years dies, because nobody was concerned about winning the lost, and nobody was interested in having any spiritual babies. It's not going to happen unless there's travail. No baby is born without first going through that birthing process and travailing. It's agonizing. It's painful, but in the end, it's worth it all. Yes, it is work, and it's aggravating sometimes, but when they pray through to the Holy Ghost, it's worth it all. Amen. When you make heaven, it will be, Brother Rogers, it'll be worth every prayer meeting, worth every Wednesday night service, worth every Bible study. Amen, amen. I pray in somehow and that when you leave tonight, that you apply it personally, and that is sometimes our fault. We do not apply the preaching. We hear it goes in one ear and out the other. Just a simple Bible study on witnessing, but yet it impacts you and impacts our youth group, and yet we just let it go in one ear spiritually and out the other because we never apply it and we never personalize it. If you want to grow, if you want to be blessed, amen, win somebody to the Lord. Amen. You want to find favor, the Bible talked about? You want God's favor? Favor with others? Amen. Be that witness that He's talking about. Amen. I pray somehow, some way that you can apply it personally. Amen. Personalize. Amen. That you and I, ye are God's witnesses. Amen. In closing tonight, we have a couple of announcements first.